Will you pray with me? Oh Lord God, gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for being our Savior, our Messiah, who has come to save us from our sin. Lord, you offer us in baptism a chance to die and live. Fill us, Lord, with the life of your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do you remember a few years back, there seemed to be a real kind of fad, a phase with the undead? Do you guys remember that? Where there were zombies and vampires this and movies and books, and it was really just like, I didn't really get into it, but I kind of remember this, games and everything dealing with the undead. And I thought about, this fascination with kind of the supernatural, with things that you can't explain, with life after death. And it got me thinking about our faith, our Christian faith, because I think at the heart of our Christian faith, there's a lot of things that are supernatural, right? There are a lot of things that we can't explain. So I think the original undead goes back to God, who gives us new life. Or one way God puts this in Romans chapter 6, 11, that in baptism, we are dead to sin, and I like thinking of it this way, undead in Christ, right? We die to our sin, but we have this new life. We're undead in Jesus Christ. And so the starts, God promises that when baptism occurs, we take ordinary water, water straight out of the tap, but when it is combined with the power of God's word, God promises to do something amazing, supernatural, that he takes a child who is born in sin and washes that sin away and covers that child with Christ so that they're dead in their sin, but they're undead in Christ. And today, that's something that each one of us celebrated. We remember that baptism in our service when the water was put on our heads and our sponsors and our parents answered the questions that we answered in our confirmation or later on in our life to say, yes, I believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Yes, Jesus is my Lord. And in doing so, we die, don't we? We die to ourselves. We die to this world. We die to our sin. And in Christ, we are undead. In Christ, we have new life. So Paul puts it this way. We heard in our epistle lesson, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized, into his death, all right? Powerful, don't die on me, all right? And so there's something that happens in baptism, right? Something that happens in baptism that it connects us, it joins us with Jesus Christ. That what Jesus accomplished is transferred to us in the water and in the word. That just the same way that Jesus died, we are baptized into his death. He goes on to say that if we have been united with him in a death like this, then we will also be united in a resurrection like this. And so there's something supernatural that occurs in baptism, something that I don't understand. I can't explain it to you because there's an element of faith that occurs in baptism, that God's at work, that God sent his son Jesus Christ, who lived, who died on the cross to pay for our sins, who rose again, defeating death. And in baptism, we're joined to Jesus, that transaction occurs, that his death becomes our death. So that just as Jesus was raised from the dead, we too are raised from our death. He goes on to say that what dies is our old self, our old sinful Adam that desires what our flesh desires, that desires what the world says is good. That there was a time in our life when that's what we lived for, the desires of this world and our flesh, this sin. But in baptism, we recognize that old self dies so that no, we are no longer slaves to sin. But what is replaced is a soul, is a being, is a person who is set free. Now not to live for sin, but to live for Christ. And then he says, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Dead to sin, undead in Christ Jesus. I think there's a great story that explains the significance of this in John chapter 8. You find a woman who is dead in her sin. Literally, that's what people hoped would happen to her. John 8 has Jesus going to the temple early in the morning. And when he gets there, some of the teachers of the law, they bring a woman who had been caught in adultery. And they bring this woman and they throw her at Jesus' feet. And they say that the law of Moses says that the punishment for adultery is what? Is death, by stoning. And they say, well, what about you, Jesus? What do you say? And Jesus kind of scribbles on the sand for a while. And then he looks at them and looks at the woman and says, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. And then he started scribbling in the dust again. We're told that from the oldest to the youngest, they began to drop their stones and walk away. And Jesus looked at the woman and said, where are they? Has no one condemned you? There were a bunch of people that were ready to say, you've sinned, you've done something wrong. And I think sometimes we too, as people, we're fearful of others who are pointing out what we have done wrong, our shortcomings, our failures. We're aware of them, and we're afraid that if other people see them, that they will condemn us. I think this is one of the things that keeps people from church, because so often we're aware of our own shortcomings, and we're afraid that if we come and if we really open up, or if people will really get to know us, they'll judge us, they'll condemn us. But the amazing thing about Jesus is, even though that this woman is caught in her sin, he says, well, where are they? If they don't condemn you, then I do not condemn you either. You see, Jesus welcomes sinners. Jesus says, come to me. I won't condemn you. We hear in John 3 that Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. And so Jesus looks at you and I, and he invites us to come to him. But when we come to Jesus, something happens. We die, not physically, but we die to our sin so that we might live in Christ. What does new life in Christ look like? Jesus tells this woman who has come close to death, he says, now go and sin no more. He says to all of us who come to him, I don't condemn you. In fact, I forgive you your sins. But now you have been set free not to live in your old habits, but to live for the Lord. The people that were writing, that Paul was writing to in his letter, were asking Paul, well, can we just keep on sinning? because there's so much grace. And Paul says, no, by no means, don't keep on going sinning. Know that you have died to sin so that you have been set free to do what Jesus has called you to do, to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Go and sin no more. But we're not at this task by ourselves. When we were baptized, when we hear God's word, the Holy Spirit is at work in our life so that we may do what God asks us to do. I think sometimes we get kind of locked into this Old Testament model that what is sin? Sin is breaking a commandment. Sin is breaking God's law. But in the New Testament, Jesus reveals that sin is so much more serious than just breaking a commandment. Sin, what are you breaking? God's heart. Sin is breaking a relationship. God has done everything to establish a relationship with you and me, and so whenever we sin, it breaks our relationship with God. But that's why God sent his son. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die, to pay for our sin. That's what the cross means. The cross means that in Christ we are dead to sin and undead in Christ. That whenever we come before God, we confess our sin. Our sin gets nailed to the cross. Our sin gets nailed with Jesus so that it might be paid for, that our sins might be forgiven. And so whenever we look at a cross, we remember that's where our sin is. That's where our sin stays. Because when we leave in Christ, we are alive. We are forgiven. We are set free to live for him. Specifically, Paul says in Romans chapter 8 that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. He also, Peter says in his letter, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered for a little while, he himself will restore you. He will make you strong, firm, and steadfast. And so Jesus says, you are not condemned. Go and sin no more. Follow me. Today, we remember our baptism. Today, we say, I follow Jesus. God, help me. Forgive me. Set me free. I want to challenge you. Last week, I challenged you to do one goal, have one goal to follow Jesus. Maybe one thing to stop or one thing to start. I want to continue to encourage to do that, to say, Jesus, work in me so that I may follow more closely to you. If there's something in my life that's breaking your heart, Lord, forgive me and set me free. Lord, if there's something in my life that I know I should be doing, but I'm just not, Lord, help me to do that. Reading your word, being in prayer, loving someone, forgiving someone I'm holding a grudge against. Help me, Lord, to start or stop doing something that'll be closer to you so that we may celebrate our identity in Christ. May God give us the strength and the spirit to do all things in Christ who strengthens us. Amen. Amen.